just do perform some sort of amazing feat with Bayonetta Imran?
I S-ranked the game.
What is... Now, I know Mark mentioned something about something that you have to do that's impossible.
There's a level that's like Fantasy Zone, and you have to do it without getting hit. And that's basically like 20 minutes. Or Space Area, yeah.
It's like, did I miss a Fantasy Zone level?
I was confused because she says, "Welcome to Fantasy Zone" as you begin the level.
That's harrowing.
Get ready.
Yep.
And you also have to beat it on the hardest difficulty.
The hardest. Do they have a name for the hardest difficulty?
Nonstop infinite climax.
What?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Is witch time turned off in infinite climax?
Yes.
Okay. That's a bitch.
Witch time. Is that anything like face XP?
No, it's slowing down time when you dodge and attack.
No, I figured as much.
I need to play more Sleeping Dogs because I bought all that DLC for like a penance.
A penance? Like...
Or a pittance. What? I was about to say. I don't know. I'm having one of those days where I'm trying to think of words, and I just throw out the first thing my mind thinks of.
You bought it for a repentance of your sins?
He sold a whole bunch of Major League Baseball pennants.
Yeah. Oh, I have, like, man, a big folder of basketball cards that I'm sure are worth nothing.
Yeah, I have a bunch of old ones, too. And I have, like, some of... There were, like, Looney Tunes baseball crossover cards.
I take it you bought these in the 90s.
Yes.
Pretty much
yes.
Anything marked collectible in the 90s was not collectible.
Yeah, probably. I'm pretty sure the binders still exist somewhere. So, the date, it's January 14th, 2013. It is the new year. You're listening to the
What? Are you recording?
Damn it, Mark. Read the chat. We're recording. That was a good cast. We're not gonna burn it. So,
we're speedrunning this podcast.
Yep, we're speedrunning this podcast. Is that still going on?
No, they're doing bonus streams now, but for the most part, it's over.
Okay.
There was drama, hilariously enough.
Oh man! All right. Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. It is episode 15 of Free to Play. My name is Brian Belita. I am joined by Imran Khan.
Yo.
Matthew Pierce.
Hey.
And Marcus Bradshaw.
Hey guys, what's up?
It is Marcus, right?
No, not at all. In fact, kind of.
It's actually short for Denmark.
Denmark Bradshaw. Yes.
Good old Denmark Bradshaw.
Denmark Bradshaw.
Would you be accepting of Marco?
No, I would not be accepting of Marco because that would imply that I spelt my name with a C. And people who spelt Mark with a C are scum.
What if it were like Mark hyphen O?
Oh yeah, then that'd be like Barrow. So yeah, that'd be cool.
I'm pretty sure there was a character in The Legend of Kyrandia named Marco with a K. I think he was the glove.
Well, that would actually make you a juggernaut.
Marco was the guy who the hand was the apprentice to.
You're thinking of the juggernaut who's Marco Kane.
Nope, I'm thinking of Legend of Kyrandia 2, The Hand of Fate.
I'm pretty sure Legend of Kyrandia 2 does not exist, and I'm pretty sure Marco Kane does.
You know what else
exists
that is a sequel? What? Deus Ex 2, Invisible War.
Why?
Bradshaw.
I want to point out that in Mark's video, he makes a word typo with Deus Ex. He pronounces it in a different way than I've ever heard him say. He says Deus Ex Human Resolution.
That's actually the second one that was pointed out. It was also pointed out that I used the term BioWare for BioShock, or the other way around.
We love you, Mark. I think that's why I said I love you the other day in a tweet, in a very intimate tweet. I was just like, Mark, I love you.
I was convinced I did something horribly wrong because I updated. Actually, I did do something horribly
wrong. You did do something horribly wrong. Yes. Mark put his 2012 year in review part one in free to play. So as you know, on NitroBeer.com, we have the two latest, the latest free to play and the latest jump cast above the actual posts in the main kind of news blog. And
I just wanted to see the stars. I lit up
the site one day, and instead of what you see there right now, which is this episode that you're listening to, it was, because he hadn't inserted a brief, it was like this 4,000 screen long essay because it was shrunk to the width of that little container. So I had to move it over.
Well, in the site's defense, you actually caught that within 30 seconds of me posting the stupid thing.
Did I?
So we just got insanely lucky.
Oh, I did get pretty lucky. That's pretty sweet then. But yeah, so I moved it over. And by the way, you should go read Mark's 2012 Year in Review, part one and part two.
They're good articles.
Yeah.
I enjoy reading them.
Yeah. Have you beaten a run-through of Legend of Grimrock?
No, I got through to, like, I think the second to last floor. I forget exactly why I stopped. It probably had to do with drugs, though. In fact, I'm certain it was because of drugs.
Like, certainly you're talking about drugs in the game.
No, I'm talking about the drugs I was on at the time I was playing Legend of Grimrock.
For your cyber knee.
Yes, for the cyber knee.
Wait, so you've been taking painkillers while playing Mark of the Ninja?
No, that's... I've just been eating crack while playing.
I need to make a Nitro Beard special edition cover for Mark of the Ninja with Mark.
Mark, like the current one with Big Bo.
Yeah, no, I'd grab that from the screenshot that you've taken. and I wanted to change the little text to an anagram of binary domain. I think it was, I did like a barmaid yo or something was the anagram I got. But then that shows up on all of the pages, so it wouldn't make much sense if you're looking at free to play and you see a barmaid yo and then not Big Bo in the background from binary domain.
Yeah.
Not that much makes sense on our site anyways, so especially that picture of Mark Bradshaw wearing the Skyrim helmet.
Totally me.
And totally Radshaw. I will watch that show. All right. Man. So it was a while since we last recorded. What have you guys been up to? Okay.
Pretty much that. Yeah.
Pretty much that. Sweet.
I've been playing lots of Mark of the Ninja.
And?
It's good. That's my review. Mark of the Ninja. That's good.
I don't know that this is unfair to or lambast the game for it, but the reason it didn't make my list is because it's just stealth. Like, it's really, really good stealth, but I don't know that that's enough to, like, completely carry a game of the year for me.
Well, you know what it is? It's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle platformer disguised as a stealth game, which is way better than what stealth has been since, like, Splinter Cell, which has been a stealth game disguised as an action game. Because stealth doesn't work with action.
You know, that's actually the same way I would describe Hotline Miami, as kind of a puzzle game wrapped inside a top-down hack and slash, I guess, sort of.
I mean, to some extent, that's what, like, Meat Boy is like, too.
Yeah. I guess we could really describe anything as a puzzle game.
Also, as an RPG.
What was that, Mark?
Also, as an RPG. Everything is an RPG.
That's what we used to do in the PS1 days. We used to just like, oh man, what if this is an RPG? Then in PS2 it was like, wow, now this is an RPG. And now Call of Duty is an RPG.
Right, now everything is true. Well, speaking of, so I got a beta key from AnyProfit on the platforms for Warframe. Not to be confused with Warface, which is a game that's coming out from, I think, the Crysis guys, right?
Is that different than Warhead, also from the Crysis guys?
Yes, of course, Crysis, there was Crysis Warhead, and then Warface is Crytek. I'm reading this directly from the Crytek AAA for free social FPS service. I shit you not, if you Google Warface...
That sounds like the kind of thing you get like in a spam email, just a bunch of words
really
thrown together.
Well, the great thing is AAA for free is one word. AAA for free social FPS service. But anyways... So Warframe is it's like a co-op third-person shooter hack and slash?
Okay, we're talking about Warframe and not Warface.
We are now talking about Warframe, yes.
Okay,
And it's actually just pretty good. I'm kind of enjoying it. It's, you know, it's basically like being a kid in the 80s making like a really nice free-to-play game. They're basically like,
right,
you know
great.
What? What?
That wasn't that great. I was a kid in the 80s.
<You're not
laughs> kind of sucked.
Well, anyways, what I'm trying to say is, like, the whole premise is, all right, you're a ninja robot, and you've been brought back because the frickin' Garugamesh enemies, the hordes of the Garugamesh are coming, and we need you to fight.
That, that wasn't being a kid in the 80s at all. Being a kid in the 80s was looking up and like thinking, oh, is that a Russian ICBM coming at me? Oh, no, that's just a jet airplane.
Mark, where did you grow up?
I grew up in America in the 80s. This is what we convinced ourselves was going to happen at all times.
That sounds like the 50s to me.
See, my assumption now is that Mark grew up in some sort of like compound where they still believe the Cold War was going on.
No. He's
our own personal Fallout Boy. Not the band.
Mark is just barely old enough to remember the Russians invading Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Things got pretty crazy when the Russians invaded Afghanistan.
Yeah.
After that, though, it kind of calmed down again.
And anyway, I just envision like an intro where it's like, "You are the Tenno, warriors of blade and gun. The Grineer, with their vast armies, are spreading chaos throughout the solar system. It's your job to take them down." Nabiscoards. I don't know.
Did you guys hear the probably fake rumor that Zack Snyder is remaking the Seven Samurai in Star Wars universe?
I saw something about that. I'm pretty sure I saw a bunch of people saying we need to stop Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious, but also I'm sure it's fake, but part of me wants to see it.
Because
if you can't make a good Star Wars movie, take a good movie and just make it Star Wars.
Well, no, I you know what? I would be okay if they make a bad Star Wars movie. Because... You know,
like ironically bad or just bad?
No, just like bad. Like
we had plenty of bad Star Wars.
Like Street Fighter Chun-Li Origins bad. Because that's fun to watch. It's not like good. I mean, you don't go, it's good, but come on. It's like getting together with some friends and watching a shitty movie is a fun thing to do.
But what's the difference between that shitty movie and the shitty movie Star Wars already does?
Well, here's the thing. The Star Wars prequels weren't exactly bad or shitty. They're just enormously boring.
I would say episode 1 at very least, and maybe episode 2 are pretty shitty.
I like elements of episode 2. Like, if you get rid of the romance subplot, I'm convinced episode 2 is a decent movie.
But that's a good third of the movie.
Yeah, it's a bit of an issue, yeah. But nothing really happens throughout the entirety of the prequels. So they're kind of boring.
Well, it's because, like, the big problem with the prequels is they set out to make Darth Vader the main character, and you already kind of know how that ends, and they stretch it out across 3 movies.
I forget where I saw somewhere on Twitter the other way. They were talking about a new way to experience the Star Wars saga. They gave a weird name
like,
to it.
Through lethal injection? I mean...
The idea was this. It's that... The story of Star Wars isn't actually about Darth Vader, because you already know what happens to Darth Vader. The entire crux of the Star Wars universe in the movies is the moment where Darth Vader explains to Luke Skywalker that he is Luke's father. By the way, if you've not actually watched Empire Strikes Back, it turns out Vader is Luke's father. Anyway.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah.
And also, you're a terrible person.
I'm also a terrible person. You deserve what just happened to you. But that's the crux of it. So it's not actually... Darth Vader's series. It's actually Luke's series who's trying to redeem his father. So their idea was
Chewbacca's the main character.
Yeah, that is another problem, but Chewie doesn't have his own movie, except when you go to episode when there's the attack on his like home planet, and that's terrible.
Zack Snyder's Chewbacca Origins.
Chewbacca. Yeah, I like that. But the idea was like you watch A New Hope, and then you watch Empire Strikes Back, and then you watch the prequels. Because that leaves a cliffhanger, and then you watch the prequels to see how Darth Vader got to be Darth Vader. And then you watch the Return of the Jedi, and you actually get your resolution.
But if you think about it, the resolution of Star Wars doesn't at all jive with what happened in everything before that, including the prequels. Like, you have Darth Vader thinking that what he's doing is right for the world, but you never actually see him, like, he never has that moment of rationalization. It's immediately just insanity. And then he somehow becomes not insane because his son, who he's never met, tells him not to be.
Yeah, there's like the entire like point where Darth Vader decides that maybe the Emperor is wrong is during the fight. And specifically when the Emperor decides to light Luke up with lightning. And that's it. That's like the quickest face heel turn in history. It's really dumb.
All right, I was trying to tell you guys about giant space robots, space robot ninjas.
Star Wars is about robot ninjas in space, too.
Well, part robot. Like,
and technically so is Mass Effect now.
Like, got a robot arm. So anyway, it's a free-to-play game. It's in beta right now. And the free-to-play stuff isn't terribly offensive or in your face or anything.
What do you pay for in that game?
You can, like, unlock new, like, classes, new frames that you can be. I think that's mostly it. I think you might be able to unlock weapons, but there's like an in-game currency, and then there's, you know, a pay-for currency that you can actually do. So, all games are RPGs now. There's, you know, this, of course, has that addictive leveling up. You know, you can level up your weapons, your character, different frames and stuff.
How much enjoyment can I get out of Warframe by being an asshole and never giving those people a dime? Because that's the way I want gaming to be in the future.
You could probably get a good amount of enjoyment from it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll stream some at some point. But yeah, it's so far. I don't have much to play. I just played a bit of it last night. But it's fun and it's co-op, which is of course fun. I didn't play with anyone I knew, but hopefully I'll be able to do that and dick around and kill some Grineer or whatever they are.
So I started playing Terra last night.
Oh man! Oh yeah, that's the thing that I need to do because you can make a pug warrior.
Yeah, that's what I did. I called him Charles Barkley.
Yes.
Actually done.
Fuck. So what am I gonna name mine?
I don't know. I think Mike has already taken Bob Barker.
I need to be thinking of some variation of the Dong Police.
That's our guild name. It's the Dog Police.
The Dog Police? Son of a bitch. I need all right, Commissioner Gordog. Commissioner Gordog.
We can't make a guild technically until it goes free to play next month.
All right. But I think. All right, Commissioner Gordog. That's it.
Just one question about the Dog Police. Are they policemen who happen to be dogs, or do they police all dogs?
So you asked us about the Dog Police, but not the Dong Police?
I don't want to think about dongs.
You don't want to think about if they are dongs who are policing, or if they're people that police dongs?
They're dongs with guns and badges.
I really don't want to think of sentient dongs just flopping all over, like, the landscape.
This Look is, out, bad yeah. guys. They're coming for you.
Oh. Oh.
If I
actually edited these things, that would be something I would actually remove.
That would be something you would repeat like four times over and maybe put an echo on it.
No, that's waiting for the supercut at the end of the year. By the way, you're also doing a supercut at the end of the year.
No.
Whoopsh. Slave labor, Imran.
I got tired of doing that video like a minute in. I was like, wow, we talk a lot about a little in this one.
Yeah, so. I think the way I promoted the Game of the Year cast is we talk about, I can't remember, we went on a Spider-Man in like the first 7 minutes.
Yeah, the first like 30 minutes were just comic book discussion.
Yeah.
Solid. And then once we actually start talking about games, we're basically talking about three games.
Yeah.
By the way, we apologize to everyone who listened to that podcast.
Yes. God, man, did we record that before Christmas? Or was it that? No, it was after Christmas.
It was after Christmas before New Year's.
Before New Year's, okay. We didn't really talk. All right, well, anyways. So I played Machinarium. Machinarium.
I heard that's pretty pixel hunty.
Not really. I mean, like, objects aren't highlighted. So, I mean, if you played The Walking Dead like a baby, with the little giant circles, then you might not like it.
I would have removed those if it kept the so-and-so will remember that thing. Because those added to
could
the...
Could you not turn those off individually?
You had to turn all of them off, I think.
I think I turned everything off. Pretty sure I did. But then when my wife went to play through, I think I left them on. Just
see, I like those because they fuck with your perception of the game. Like, it'll occasionally tell you something where somebody will remember something, and then they immediately get killed.
Huh.
So you're like, oh, this person's gonna remember. Oh no, they're dead.
I think my reasoning for turning it off in The Walking Dead was because I don't know. It's like I should be able to judge this stuff for myself. You know, I don't want to be told that. You know, I should think, okay, you know, make this decision, and because it warned you beforehand, right? You know, like, Lord so and so will remember what you do here.
Yeah, but to me, I don't think it made much of a difference in terms of gameplay, but it made a total difference in terms of the presentation. Like, they started writing with that in mind.
Huh.
So yeah. I didn't want to turn those off.
Yeah. How do we get talking about The Walking Dead?
Game of the Year.
Machinarium. Pixel hunting.
Also, everything basically devolves down to Walking Dead sooner or later.
Okay, right. So anyway, so Machinarium is really lovely and charming, and you should play it. I don't think it's very pixel hunty. I mean, everything is you know, is kind of there on the screen and kind of makes sense. You know, there are a couple little puzzles that are a little abstract that you may find yourself fiddling with. But for the most part, it's a really charming game, and you should go play it. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's probably on Steam, and it's also, I don't know, it's a couple bucks on GOG. I think it's just $10 on GOG. I don't know how much it is on Steam. But anyways, so I highly recommend that. I played that. I really enjoyed that. I really love adventure games. And I have a bunch that I own on Good Old Games that I have not played that I need to do. I think they kind of act as a good in-between, you know, playing like Far Cry 3, shoot, and then you know, playing a nice adventure game, and then, you know, play some more something else, because I have Darksiders 2 that I need to play, and a bunch of other games.
I don't know if you technically need to play Darksiders 2.
I would like to. I own it, so...
I don't know if you'd like to play Darksiders.
I think Brian would like Darksiders 2.
I will probably enjoy it.
Just because you like getting loot.
I have my hesitations about loot in the scenario, the basis of a Darksiders game. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm sure I'll still like, oh, fuck. Well, this guess I gotta better get some loot. Yeah, so... Man, so gay Chewbacca.
Oh, right, the gay planet.
The gay planet. On the Star Wars, yeah. The Old Republic, massively multiplayer online RPG.
Yeah, finally allowing homosexual civil unions. I guess they're probably married. I don't know. Would they still be marriages in the future? Would they finally get over marriages? Just call them civil unions.
Did Leia and Solo get married?
Yeah, they've got married, and they have insufferable little Jedi kids.
Can you marry your sister?
Probably.
You can make out with her, so I assume.
At least.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I didn't realize what can we call this that's shorter than Star Wars The Old Republic?
Tor.
Whatever. Tor. All right, Tor. So I didn't realize that Tor had some sort of like dating sim aspect to it.
It's a BioWare game. Trailer. Of course it had.
All right, that's a fair point.
So I didn't actually, I've investigated this too much. Is it just, there's a planet where gay relationships are allowed and nowhere else?
So technically this is the planet where all gayness is allowed too, because, I mean, it's the only place where you like really show you're gay because you got a gay marriage. So technically like all the gays are now on this planet, right?
So is it a gay only planet?
I don't know. I would.
Is it like the Fire Island of the Star Wars universe?
Wait, Fire Island?
Yes.
From what? What is that?
It's a gay resort, I think.
Oh, I had no idea. I'm not up on my gay resorts as of this moment.
You will be soon.
I know Penis Island, or Pen Island, sorry.
Penis Land,
fuck. I really, all right. But isn't this... Isn't
We're
this
so like sensitive and forward-thinking on this podcast.
Yeah, we really are. So isn't this pay for as well, a pay for expansion?
It's not an expansion. It's part of the part of the game you have to pay for.
Okay,
it's a coming content thing called Rise.
But you need to be a paid subscriber to access it.
Right.
I wonder if there's going to be uproar about that. I mean, I can understand because I guess it's something new they're adding, so they want to. Pay for subscribers.
I think it's probably just more the uproar should have been that there wasn't like gay civil unions before this point. That's where people should have been upset, not the fact that they're like that the gay marriages are on their own separate little planet. Right. It's the outrage should have begun a long time ago.
Oh man, I'm just thinking about just two huts just
making out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, really, whether they're
hot gay you know, hut sex. Something.
Well, no, whether it's you know
which
two huts
can't
just,
be.
Which, I think they're genderless.
Yeah, it can't be worse than like regular hut sex, right? I mean,
hutsex.com. Go in there.
It's probably just Pizza Hut sex.
First thing is a flicker. Jabba has a son, but how did he die? You don't want to know.
What?
I don't know. It's some Lego. There's Boba Fett, or you know, I don't know. A Fett is standing on the left, and there's a little baby hut that looks like maybe. Just the head of Jar Jar Binks or something in the middle, and then there's a pirate Lego guy on the right. I don't even know. God, everything exists. It's just, it's amazing.
So, I mean, I'm so curious, is the gay planet the only planet you can be gay on? Because that seems kind of weird.
I'm sure you can be gay anywhere. It seems like it's the only place where...
just
it sounds from. Like it's the only place where any of the NPCs are gay.
Okay. Then I don't see the... I don't see the either fervor or outrage over this, then.
Yeah, I haven't really... I think people just thought, I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe there'll be more that happens, but... I don't know.
If George Lucas made a gay planet, he'd probably give it some sort of terrible pun name.
Oh, no. I think I made a reverse Sarlacc joke.
So it makes... It does kind of make sense in the... Oh, that's terrible. Also, it does make sense in the Star Wars, like, universe, because you have, like, a planet that's nothing but jungle, a planet that's nothing but city, a planet that's full of nothing but lava. So, yeah, you're going to have a planet that's full of nothing but gay. So, sure.
But... You figure after a few generations that would stop working.
Yeah, because eventually they would stop being able to like have children. You know, they got cloning back there, so you're fine.
Let's surely there's some sort of species that the males can. Anyways, let's not go into Star.
This whole conversation has been regrettable.
Sister marrying fine, gay planets no.
Star Wars. Man. So
somehow still solve it.
Yeah. Yep. Man, what did I play? I played something new. I started playing I finally downloaded and started playing Dark Souls on my computer.
Have you ever played Dark Souls like on one of your consoles? Or
yes, I had it on PS3, but my PS3 died. And really it's the type of game that I will definitely get more out of on my computer just because I'm at my computer. It's the kind of game it is load up, play for 15 minutes, and then yes, I have longer periods of playing it, but so I installed like the Dark Souls fix thing, and it just like completely wrecked my my graphics. So I'm trying to iron that out before it actually plays some more.
In the patch defense, it was formulated entirely by NeoGAF. So yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, and there's also games.
It's a GAF patch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should take a break.
Sure.
Okay.
We're back. And Mark, why don't you tell us how much you love CBS?
I love CBS so much. I also love CBS Electronics. My favorite console is the Columbia Home Arcade, and my favorite video game is GORF. And I say all this not in hopes of getting money from CBS, because that'd be unethical, but I would like a job, because now several have opened up. That's the segue.
Dave Nutting Associates is the name of the developer behind GORF.
CBS Electronics published the 2600 version.
I had never heard of GORF, Galactic Orbiting Robot Force.
But it's right up your alley, as we discussed earlier today.
In practice, it sounds fucking rad. Wait, what's right up my alley?
Robots in space.
Oh, robots in space, yes. I thought, by earlier today, I thought you meant like this morning. But you mean like 30 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago.
Our daily morning talk about robots.
Our daily morning robot talk.
As long as we're Ted Gilly on the topic, I just want to invite our good viewers to look up Columbia Home Arcade and look at the jankiest, most ghetto-looking piece of console ever produced in the history of mankind.
It's got like a joystick. It's got like a little fiddle knob.
Yeah, this is the way joysticks were back in like the early 80s.
Toggle switches.
The plastic looks like it's directly molded out of a Radio Shack project box. This is how
it may have been.
Yeah, probably was.
I love the logo. It's just, all caps impact font. Columbia Home Arcade.
It's probably just like comes off of one of those little heat gun sticker things. Just lay it directly on
the You're probably right. There's some guy in a factory labeling them on there because they probably only sold 7. Yeah. Mark, did you buy one of those 7?
I wish I did. That thing would be amazing. Imagine I can play. I would have a machine that can play both 2600 games and ColecoVision games.
Gorf.
Hooray.
Yeah. What else did you say in your little rant?
Oh, well, you know, there's a lot of jobs opening up at CNET because...
No. It was another topic other than CBS. You said something about... Did you say something about Fantasy Island? I don't think you said something about Fantasy Island.
Brian, I think we need to talk about your drug addiction problem. I never mentioned anything about Fantasy Island.
All right. Anyways. So, Mark, you play board games, right?
I used to play board games, but
used to.
With the city, yeah. I'm familiar with board games. Why do you ask?
Well, no, I'm not sure. I don't want to just... Well, anyways, so I think I realized why XCOM really clicked well with me. The new XCOM, Enemy Unknown. Not because of the base management house stuff, but in the past couple casts, I don't know, a while ago on the Beardcast, I talked about Heroescape, which is a hex tile-based board game.
Right.
Now,
was,
you know,
Heroescape, that was the one where you got, like, it came in the board game case and, like, you made your own dungeons out of...
you can make your own landscapes and kind of battlegrounds and stuff. So you got, like, a whole bunch of, you know, plastic bits, some that are, you know, like, large triangles, some are smaller, just single hex pieces. So you can basically build whatever kind of landscape you want.
Okay, And it
comes with a number of kind of, you know, original... kind of first party characters, which are your kind of standard medieval fare. You know, you've got a Legolas, you've got a guy with a dragon, you've got, you know, giant orcs and stuff. But you know, it's turn based. Well, anyways, but the great thing about Heroescape is that allows you. There's like a whole bunch of custom cards, so you can have these battles between, you know, the Juggernaut and Luke Skywalker, you know, fighting it out on a battlefield. But so, you know, it's turn based. It's got this hexagonal grid. And, you know, the battles are done by rolling dice, you know, like whoever's attacking rolls some dice and they get, you know, four skulls, whoever's defending has to then four shields. So it kind of has that percentage chance of happening that XCOM kind of has. And XCOM is kind of sort of in some little ways, the you know, video game version of Heroescape that I've kind of always wanted, although it, you know. Yeah. You can't be Spider-Man in XCOM, unfortunately.
You could probably mod it in.
Well, you kind of can. I mean, you get, like, the grapple hook, so...
Does it have
actually, that would be, like, a cool thing to do with, like, an Avengers game. Just copy XCOM, but with superheroes.
Well, it will be, like, and I think...
Yeah, because you'd be SHIELD. Yeah, that makes a lot of
sense.
Well,
no, seriously, if they made a Heroescape game that allowed for kind of custom characters, and of course, I know there'd be all sort of, you know, kind of, you know, copyright problems and shit. I don't know. But it would be great. I would love that game. I want that game so bad.
Wait, why isn't there a Marvel MOBA? Does that not just make the most sense of anything ever?
What does MOBA stand for again? I know it's Dota and
League of Legends. Online Battle Arena?
I think that the proper nomenclature is
Lords.
LOMA. Yeah,
right, Lords Management. Right, that's the Idle Thumbs guys. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're working on it.
They should do it. Disney's making its own Skylanders.
Well, see, but the thing with those though is those are kind of, you know, real time. It's action, you know, it's you're doing whatever. You know, and this is obviously the game I'm talking about is a little more slower, turn based.
Yeah.
But man, if they made an asynchronous game, you know, with kind of, you know, either set maps that are like that, but God, I really want a computer version of Heroescape. That would allow for kind of custom characters and, you know, just like, I don't know, there's some other games that, you know, some free indie games, I'm sure, that allow you. Like, you know, there are those little fighting mashup games or, you know, Super Smash Brothers, you know, copy games that allow you to battle all kinds of different characters. So someone needs to make that. Please, go do it. If you make video games, go make that.
We should kickstart ideas to convince someone else to make a game.
Okay.
Like, we'll ask for, let's say, $100,000 to go to Firaxis and ask them to make the game and just give them the $100,000.
Right.
Or $50,000, so we take our cut.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That would be interesting. That's the, yeah.
Well, it would be a terrible ripoff, but I'm sure we'd get some money.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, just because of copyright infringement and stuff, it, as far as those custom characters goes.
I would rather use the Kickstarter money to buy, like, some THQ properties, because I think we do a lot. We could do a lot if we owned some THQ IP.
When we last convened, they were still alive.
Yeah.
Now, not so much. Like, I think Jason Rubin tried to get his friends at Clear Lake or Clearwater, whatever their name is, to buy THQ out and let them stay in One Piece. Yeah. But the court rejected it because that's very not legal.
Yeah. Well, so, the creditors were saying, hey, you guys are screwing us over because we can make a lot more money if we sell everything off to, like, EA or Time Warner Warner Brothers, rather. And Clear Lake is just – Clear Lake was clearly a shady little operation where they could just, like, keep the company intact while not actually paying off any bills. You can't actually do bankruptcy like that.
It was essentially a shell company.
Yeah.
Which now they're being sold off piece by piece, which means Volition's gone. They have to be. I'm sure they're the very top of the plate for things people will buy from THQ.
Maybe. I mean, wouldn't it make a lot more sense just to buy Saints Row and just have your own crappy little development team make it and just sell it as the next Saints Row and not actually have to pay all this new talent with the building and everything?
They could, but I feel like, I mean, you'd need a team to do all that, and you might as well just get Volition for cheap.
Oh, maybe, man, I'm back on Heroescape now, but I think it's Wizards of the Coast that owns Heroescape. So, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I was just thinking about that, and I guess I was just looking it up, and somebody apparently tried to make a game, but they kind of had a bounty on their head from Wizards trying to make a free Heroescape game. I don't know. I guess you just kind of brand it something else. I don't know how that's handled though. If it's basically exactly Heroescape, just a different name or slightly different.
I think it needs to be something that you just put on the internet and it has this horrible underground, black, community that just does whatever the hell it wants with copyright infringement.
Yeah. By the way, if anybody listening to this happens to know of the game I'm talking about, and if it exists, please let me know. You can tweet me at Commissioner Gordog. Yeah. God, I love board games. I'm going to do a board game wrap-up soon with kind of my, an intro to board games. Because, probably last year and a half or two is when I really started getting into it. So just kind of a rundown of my kind of suggestions of the board games that you should own if you're just kind of playing for fun.
Yeah, so, we were talking last night about Nitrobeard features, and Mark was saying, like, people suggested Mark to play Mario games in order and start doing write-ups about them, because he hasn't played any of them besides Yoshi's Island. And I was like, I was trying to think of something similar, like what series I haven't played, to do like an article on that.
Yeah.
And I've got nothing.
You've played nothing. Everything?
I think I've played every major series. At least I've played Musou games now, and that's probably the last major one that I mean, I'd have to dig deep for like sort of neat stuff like Nobunaga's Ambition, and if the Pokemon game counts, then I've played that.
Do you play many?
Yes,
Madden.
I have played Madden, FIFA, PES.
Do you play many kind of like freeware kind of indie games? You know, stuff you might see on like like TIG stores, the independent game stores, and stuff like that.
If somebody links them to me, I usually I download them and I'll play it for like 5 minutes and go indie bullshit and then quit.
Okay. I don't know, but maybe that's an idea
that you can do.
There's one problem with the indie scene. It's that being an indie game is way too frequently an excuse to be terrible.
Like, I had this awesome idea. Now let's make nothing but this idea, but I spent 2 weeks on it, so who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, indiegames.com.
One of the games I kickstarted, Boss Monster, which is really, really good. I the more I play it, the more I'm falling in love with it, and I can't wait for the actual full version. I got an advanced prototype copy, but they're apparently kind of down the line talking about making an iOS version of it, or a mobile version of it, or hopefully even just like a version on Steam, which would be fucking amazing. It'd be great. I would love if they did that. So I'm really enjoying this kind of board game renaissance golden age, and I hope it really kind of floods into all corners of entertainment. So, yep, board games. You should play them. I love them.
Maybe I will, Belita.
You should. Do you have you any kind of experience with board games past, you know, kind of your standard fare, Scrabble, stuff like that?
No. I mean, I played Risk way back in the day.
Oh, God. Nobody likes Risk.
I know. Risk is almost as much as Monopoly, finding out which of your friends is an asshole. But the difference is, with Risk, it was always me.
Yeah. I heard that apparently there was a new Risk game that came out, I think, last year. Well, 2012 being last year, called Risk Legacy, that apparently was actually, like, a good Risk game. And there's apparently also Metal Gear Solid Risk.
Yeah, I was gonna buy the Metal Gear Risk, but $75 is a lot to spend.
It is.
On something I would never open.
Right, that would be like a gag gift. So, well, you should. I don't know if you have any friends who have some interest, you should maybe my recommendation of games might get you into it, because they're really fun and hanging out.
That's why I like you know, phone games and iPad games. Like, you can replicate the board game experience that way, but no one does that really.
Right. Well, to some extent. I mean, of course, it's, you know, there's no substitute for getting together with friends and actually kind of rolling those dice and drinking.
I mean, there's no substitute, but it seems like a proper solution, I suppose.
Right, exactly. I mean, as we get older, you know, you kind of hang out with your friends. You know, you only really get time on the weekends or whatever to get together. And especially with a young baby, it's a little harder to do. So yeah, I mean, it'd be a great kind of placeholder or kind of, I don't know, not proxy. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
How is there not an iPad D&D game that plays like a regular D&D thing,
exactly,
but has like a graphical interface?
Exactly. I mean, it's an untapped market that would do so well if they tapped into it. I mean, it would be, they could do some phenomenal things. Yeah.
But they won't.
It won't. Well, maybe they will. We'll see. We'll see, because there are a lot of, if Kickstarter has any sort of influence, there are a lot of board games that are doing really well on Kickstarter. I think this King, have you guys heard about this Kingdom Death Monster Kickstarter?
No. Is it like Kings of Tokyo?
No, not at all. It's pretty intense, pretty in depth, I think, and pretty crazy. But it was asking for $35,000, and it just passed $2 million. Which might make it the most funded Kickstarter board game of all time. But anyways. Yep. Oh, actually, they apparently, I'm just looking now, they apparently asked to kickstart for a iOS version of their board game. Do it.
Kickstart that iOS version?
No, you should. Actually, that might just be like a companion app. Which is a weird thing. I don't know. Companion apps is a weird thing. Like, Far Cry is a companion app. Board, like, I don't know.
It's cheap, easy money, I suppose.
That's true.
Or cheap, easy advertising.
That's true. All right. I think we're done.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We're done here. Go home.
I am home.
That was fast.